Good afternoon, folks. Have a seat. Judge Lewis, how are you? Good. No, I'm not Judge Shear.
Yes.
My name is Colton, C-O-L-T-O-N. First name Roger, middle initial B. And I'm what's referred to as a senior judge. Which means about 11 years ago, they said to me, you know, you're just a magic number. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Well, I didn't, but I'm back again. Sort of like a substitute school teacher. And it's my understanding that you've been allotted 30 minutes at 4:30 in the afternoon. This is an amended order setting a hearing on the motion of Elliot L. Bernstein. Who's Elliot?
I, Bernstein. Correct. Yes, sir.
Elliot, I. What's the I stand for?
Ivan.
Ivan. All right, Elliot.
Thank you.
And Elliot, are you represented by counsel? Or?
No.
No? Who is this?
Pro se. It's my wife.
Well, your wife. You're Mrs. Elliot. Hi, Bernstein. Okay. And you're the beneficiary of the estate of Simon?
Correct.
Simon, your brother?
My father.
Your father.
Deceased.
You're pro se? You don't have an attorney?
Correct.
You're your own attorney, right?
Correct.
Okay. And over in this side is?
Final Collier, Robert. Good to see you.
Good to see you. And you're the attorney for?
I'm actually the personal representative of the estate of Simon Bernstein. And there's Shirley Bernstein estate as well that I'm not the personal representative of. Just to try to acquaint you a little bit with it.
Right. You're the personal representative of
Simon's
estate.
Yes, sir.
The father of Elliot.
Correct.
Okay.
And you say you are the attorney for?
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Alan Rose. I represent Ted S. Bernstein, who is the successor trustee of the Simon Bernstein Trust.
He's the successor trustee.
The original trustee was Simon Bernstein while he was alive.
And then it was two attorneys who were removed.
Well,
but
don't,
oh, okay, sorry.
Don't interrupt me.
Okay.
Tell me again now.
I represent Ted Bernstein as trustee of the Simon Bernstein Trust.
And you said he was the successor.
Correct.
Of the Simon Bernstein Trust.
Correct. The Simon Bernstein Trust is the sole residuary beneficiary of the estate.
Okay.
That Mr. O'Connell is the personal representative of.
So why are we here today, Elliot?
Well, okay, Judge Shear.
Judge Lewis is here. She's the guardian ad litem who was appointed by orders of Judge Phillips and not reversed on appeal to the Fourth District. She's the guardian ad litem for the three children, for the interests of the three children of Elliot Bernstein. So she should probably formally appear.
All right, so we'll show that she's here.
Your Honor,
three children.
Well, two of them are adults, and these were guardianships placed on them when they were adults.
Until such time as the guardianship has been dissipated or dissolved, she's still the guardian, unless some judge comes along and say,
okay,
adults now.
We're moving to vacate it because he was an adult when the guardian was improperly placed, but that's okay.
Where are the three children? Are they going to be here?
No.
Yes, sir.
Your Honor, my name is Jeff Royer. I'm here for Peter Feynman, who is the attorney for William Stansberry, who is the predominant claimant of the estate of Simon Bernstein and an interested party.
An interested party.
Correct.
Well, we got some other people here. How about the lady at the front row? Who are you here for?
My office. That was Brian O'Connell, the personal representative.
He's with my office.
Let's see. Okay, how about you, young man?
I'm a good-looking man. I just look at you and enjoy listening.
You don't want to listen to me? You're just here just you didn't have anything else to do? You're just here off the street?
Yes. I'm living.
Okay, and your name, sir, is?
Kenneth Dodson, Schedule Hoti.
Ken? And you're just here as an observer?
What?
You're here as an observer?
He's a friend of Mr. Bernstein.
I'm a friend.
Oh, you're a friend of Elliot's.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. And You going out afterwards with your friend here? He's going to pick up the tab, he said. Okay, now.
Your Honor, I wanted to make you aware that's a procedural order that had been entered by Judge Cohen. I handed a copy to Mr. Elliott.
Judge Cohen.
In terms of how adversary proceedings should be handled, but I thought the court should be aware of that.
Who's going to tell me why I'm here?
Your Honor.
Why am I here?
Okay, that's a great question. Judge Scherer called this hearing, if you read the order for today, on as the matter came before, I guess, in chambers, she said. I wasn't in her chambers at that time, so I don't know what that means.
Well, I'll tell you what it means, so you don't think
she reviewed it?
With her. This means she wrote this in her office.
Okay, so she ordered that. I didn't put in for a notice of hearing on this, and I would have certainly scheduled a lot more time because I have a number of witnesses, and this should really be in an evidentiary hearing, and I was going to discuss that with her. She took 2 months to get to this hearing and scheduled it up on her own. So I think it should be before her, and I move to, you know, delay and reschedule and hear this properly before her. She's done a lot of research on the case. She's aware of some of the frauds that have occurred by attorneys in this case. And I just want to really quickly clarify, Mr. Rose was a little bit misleading, saying that my brother was the successor trustee to my father in the Simon Trust. There were two attorneys who admitted to fraudulently altering estate documents and sending them to my children's counsel. Yeah, actually, we're working on putting them in prison instead of disbarring them, because better to
disbarring than prison.
No, prison with no disbarment, because then they're valued in prison by all the prisoners. They become loved over there. So, anyways, I just think it's proper to hear it before her. She spent a lot of time in this, and I don't really know. I had some questions for her on why she scheduled it this way. So, if we could, that would be the best move.
All right. And what says this side of the room?
Your Honor, with regard to the estate, and I know that's a kind of a lengthy order that it has handed you, there is a procedure that's supposed to be followed before an adversary pleading gets filed. And here we sort of have cart before a horse. That pleading's already been filed, and it's supposed to be reviewed. In that case, it was Judge Cohen presided at the time, so now it would be Judge Scherer, or of course yourself. But before it's allowed to be filed, if you'll see, there's some requirements that Judge Cohen set forth in terms of pleadings, exhibits, items of that nature, because there have been, as he references in there, voluminous filings that have occurred. So he did that in a case management fashion as to how things should proceed. In this case, I just wanted you to
He's
know.
Retired too, you know.
Oh, is he gone yet? No?
Yeah, he's gone.
Oh, good.
He's gone. Yesterday's news.
So if I can be heard on that, I think Judge Scherer said this to be heard. It's a frivolous motion. This case has been going on. Shirley Bernstein died in the end of 2010. Her estate started in 11. Simon died in 2012, so this is a 2012 estate. We've been going on for years. We had a trial before Judge Phillips, which is some of it's discussed in the motion.
He's gone.
Read
Phillips
it.
Is gone.
Yeah. And the order that he entered,
by one.
The final judgment he entered was affirmed today at the 4th District.
Today?
Today.
You mean yesterday?
I mean today.
Well, I thought they only heard him on Wednesday.
Well, they issued procurement affirmations on Thursdays now.
And we're moving for a rehearing on that because of new fraud that was discovered before. Judge Scherer by Mr. Rose.
I know.
Oh, okay.
But just so you know, I'm sorry. Any continuance, I'm going to hear it. You got from now till probably until a little bit after 5. I'm going to hear from you, and then you can take it from there.
Well, then I'd like to make my opening. And
well, no, hold on. I'm going to hear it.
Oh, okay.
My only point is, at issue were the validity of 5 documents, 5 testamentary documents.
Okay.
And so Judge Phillips heard it. He ruled that they were valid. There's a 6th document that he determined to be invalid. You've heard some discussion about an invalid document that Judge Phillips determined was invalid. So we have 5 valid documents. It's been affirmed by procurement affirmance, which is not unexpected, but incidentally was today. And so we think the motion should go forward and you should deny it.
Okay. Now, I'm going to give Elliot all the rest of the time. If you tell me what your position is.
Thank you.
Well, if you're moving for witness testimony and trying to make...
I'm moving, right?
Oh, okay.
This is... Elliot, listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
This is your opportunity.
Okay, yeah.
Make the most of it.
Okay, great.
Okay, go ahead.
So I object to this hearing that 30 minutes is improper and insufficient amount of time for this hearing on the motion. There's no written oppositions been filed or received, and the motion's therefore unopposed. Further, critical witnesses of Peter Feman, attorney at law, and William Stansberry became unavailable. Mr. Stansberry was called out of the country after Cher scheduled this for an unknown amount of time. But prior to departing, he had represented that Peter Feman would be here directly, and he claimed, who has claimed, he's an attorney at law with Mr. Royer, he has claimed on a phone call with several parties to be aware of a conspiracy amongst the parties in this court against my rights that even predate this validity hearing that we're going to be challenging. And he also has knowledge of due process violations in the proceedings, and he has allegedly filed with state authorities and federal criminal complaints involving... It's Jeff Royer's partner, Peter Feman.
F-E-A-M-O-N?
M-A-N.
M-A-N.
Correct.
And he's the one that's made the allegations, according to you.
Correct.
That you're referring to.
And we would be bringing him up with other witnesses. We'd be bringing up Diana Lewis as a witness about the guardianship issues. We'll be calling Mr. Rose about the fraudulent statements he's made and put in 40. Yeah, and in fact, Judge Scheer's order today, she calls me a beneficiary, and you so politely did. There's about 47 different times Mr. Rose has moved several courts that I am not a beneficiary of anything. He conceded in the hearings before Judge Scheer, now that I am changing all of these pleadings. Now, just for one point, a federal judge in Illinois has claimed that in the estate of Simon, because Florida ruled that I was not a beneficiary of Simon's estate, even though Scheer just put in her order today that I am, that he issued a summary judgment removing my rights in that case. You are walking into a very large fraud that has been ongoing. There are multiple parties. There have been arrests made for forging documents in this court by the very people Mr. Rose brought into this court, or brought him into this court. The onion started to peel when Judge Scheer, just at the last hearing, and these guys all admitted I was a beneficiary after they put in all these pleadings to all these different courts, the 4th DCA, the Supreme Court of Florida, the Illinois Federal Court, stating that I was a beneficiary of nothing, it had been ruled on, and there's a fraud upon a fraud upon a fraud going on here. So, truly, if you're hearing this, this court's order that was issued today, which appears to be dated for April 3rd, but then was written today, April 27th, and received today, April 27th, by
the
its own...
The order I just saw.
The order?
About the 4th DCA order? What?
No, the one Scheer ordered today.
She signed it April 7th.
April 27th.
No. April 27th is today?
Yeah.
She said on April 7th, she set a hearing today.
No.
For 4:30.
Yes, sir.
On April 11th, she set a hearing today at 4:30, but it was an amended order as to the time only.
Yes, Your Honor, but today she issued another order.
She did?
Yes, sir.
Well, where is it? Who gave it to me?
Nobody.
It's an order on a motion that we heard months ago. It's unrelated to this motion.
Oh, no, it's highly related to this motion. In fact, it supports my case, if you'd let me finish. So she issued an order today. If you look up it in the computer, on paragraph 17 of that order, she says that I, Elliot Bernstein, am a beneficiary of the estate of Simon Bernstein, giving me standing, which they have both argued that I did not have for 2 years and kept me out of proceedings, denying me due process and procedure. And because of that, that's sufficient basis to now modify the order of the scheduling of hearings, because when the hearings were first scheduled, that order they gave you of scheduling with Judge Scheer, she was told that I wasn't a beneficiary of the estates. So now she's overruled all that, and it's causing a cataclysm. I'm at state and federal criminal authorities, as well as going to the Illinois federal court. Judge Blakey, whose father wrote the RICO Act, dismissed...
Is that John Blakey?
It is, Northwestern. And he dismissed an action saying that because Florida said I wasn't a beneficiary of the Simon Bernstein estate, he was issuing summary judgment against me saying I didn't have standing there. This now changes everything, so understand that. And her order proves the fraud, meaning it proves that they've been telling the courts factually incorrect things, and I believe that falls under, I'll think of that criminal term in a minute, but it's moving the court falsely with knowledge of what they were doing. And like I said, 47 times that's repeated in orders that denied me. I couldn't even speak at hearings with Judge Phillips because he was on the same rant. In fact, if you read any of the four documents they say are valid, I'm a beneficiary in every single one. So we'll get to that part in a minute. But let me continue. That fraud that's been going on since Phillips issued these orders saying I wasn't a beneficiary, that share just overturned, it's gone on for over a year, and it's been going along with Brian O'Connell, and I want to state on the record, Your Honor, take judicial notice of this. In Mr. O'Connell's deposition leading up to the hearings that Judge Scheer just had, I asked him about a conflict of interest with his law firm and a partner of his, Gerald Beer. And he declined, in his deposition, he said he didn't know anything about it. And I said I had sent him the information. He said, well, if you send it to me again, I'll obviously resolve it immediately. That's in his deposition. So I sent him the very next day the letter I had sent him a year before. Now, this is about an asset in this estate that Mr. Rose has claimed is worth $1 trillion. So, yes.
$1 trillion?
$8 trillion. Yeah. Other people have gone more. Let him do that. You're right. So, Mr. O'Connell, I sent that over to him the next day, and that's weeks ago, has refused to acknowledge if he has conflicts. He shouldn't even be here because the conflict is so egregious that he just keeps avoiding it and showing up at court and making pleadings, and that continues the fraud. Okay. I believe the court needs to review the records of the proceedings to find sufficient cause based upon this continuing and ongoing pattern and practice of fraud upon the court to issue discovery compliance and related discovery proceedings. There should be an order issued placing an injunction against Alan Rose, Ted Bernstein, and Brian O'Connell to separately catalog, identify, and preserve all discovery, including the time of receipt of such discovery, the source and location of such discovery, where it was derived from, whether the discovery is an original or a copy, and related protective measures to preserve the integrity of the proceedings. And that's because all of the documents that were ordered by Judge Colin to be turned over when the other attorneys were removed for fraud, they didn't turn over. They turned over only alleged copies. So all the original documents of my father, business records and everything, are missing at this point, including the trust and wills. So nobody has them that we're aware of, and this is one of the big things we've been moving on in our papers, and I believe that's why Judge Scheer called this up today. If she wanted to quash it, she would have done that. This court should further issue an immediate injunction prohibiting any and all further disposition of any asset of any kind of the estate and trust. There's been allegations by Mr. Fehman just prior to Judge Phillips leaving that he was aware of fraud and missing assets and theft of assets and theft of jewelry. And it's all in the record in a September 1st hearing where Judge Phillips said, we'll get to that. Then he left right after that. So we haven't yet got to that order yet, and there's been all kinds of allegations in the papers of missing assets. There's been no accounting in my mom's trust since she died in 2010. There's no complete records. Right. See, there's a lot of fraud going on here. All evidentiary hearings should be scheduled in accordance with procedural and substantive due process, including but not limited to the exchange of witness and exhibit lists, because for this hearing I was calling witnesses, and I figured proper pretrial procedures would be heard if we were going to have an evidentiary hearing here. And that would take me a lot longer. I put in 10, 15 witnesses just to get through calling them up. The court has sufficient evidence before it now to move on the court's own motion, if you have reviewed the files, for the removal based on the fraud that just occurred in the last hearings of Ted Bernstein, Brian O'Connell, and for appropriate discipline, whether you want to take it to the bar or not. or Judge Shear. Well, Judge Shear has now become a witness to the fraud. She's now overruled the past issue that I'm not a beneficiary of standing. Remember, I was stifled with a bag over my head at these hearings because supposedly I wasn't a beneficiary. This is after years where Judge Colin, you know, and everybody said I was a beneficiary. But Mr. Rose needed to shut it down. And somehow he got Judge Phillips, who didn't seem that much lucid at the time he was here, of what hearings he was in, what cases he was in, and that's all in the record, got him to believe all this crazy stuff, and it ended up in a federal court, and it ended up on the stand. Both these guys admitted last time as a beneficiary, it was like pulling teeth, but they finally, if you read the transcripts, you know, cough it up, and Mr. Rose concedes that he's misrepresented the court.
I object to that. That's not true at all. And
just saying,
and it's
it
in,
still is opening.
It's
not
in,
evidence.
Right.
This is not going to be an evidentiary.
Well, it needs to be.
It's going to be, well, you can say it needs to be. You got about five more minutes.
Okay, I'm saying that.
So I'm just letting you
okay.
talk.
Okay, and I think it should be an evidentiary hearing.
I understand.
Okay. This court should
your
further.
Your wife agrees. You shake your head. You always agree.
But we're ready for everything from this court, so trust me. This court should further transmit notice of its order issued today to the Illinois District Court. So Judge Shear should be sending that to Judge Blakey because it shows that the Illinois Federal Court has been seriously misrepresented fraudulently by officers of the court. Remember, all these crimes that are occurring to us have occurred by officers of the court committing forgery, fraudulent signatures of six separate parties in the case. It's mind-boggling. And we're going to appeal the onion. But they claim that same fraud in the Illinois court, so he should be noticed. And I believe it's Canon 3. You guys got some kind of obligation when you're aware of fraud to be notifying the proper state, federal, civil, and criminal authorities of the misconduct of attorneys at law who come in and misrepresent the record. Now, by the way, if you look at Mr. Feeman and Mr. Royer's written closing statements, they start out with, in opening statement by Mr. Rose, the court heard numerous, this is from a lawyer, it's his partner. In opening statement by Mr. Rose, the court heard numerous misstatements of fact and unsubstantiated assertions which are contradicted by the evidence and not supported by the record. So they're saying they have...
Now who is that pursuant to the order you're reading from?
This was part of what went into Judge Shear's order today.
That's the written final argument for the motion that she denied today and ruled for us.
Okay.
But that's the written
final argument. Well, I'm not sure she ruled for it.
That's the written.
Right.
No, that's the written final argument by Mr. Royer and Mr. Feynman.
That's your final
in support
argument.
Of their motion that was and
that
she denied it today.
And he lists a host of things like they said Elliot's not a beneficiary. They walked into court with that argument.
Now, Elliot, I notice you're reading from a piece of paper there too.
Yes, sir.
That's your actually sort of your
guidelines. Yeah.
Guidelines as to your opens that you want me to hear.
Well, I was just going to open with Judge Shear to get it to an evidentiary hearing as well, but...
That's what you're asking.
But if I had to go to opening statement...
What page are you on?
I'm on two. And I only have one more paragraph or two. Sure. Am I in a rush?
Yeah.
Okay.
You got the 5:15 it's over with, and I'm going to give Mr. Rose enough.
I got to go at 5. I got to leave again at 5. I got to go.
You got to leave at 5.
Yeah, it's only scheduled.
You want to just leave that with me?
It was only scheduled for a half hour.
Right.
So again, this will be kind of infringing on our due process rights. But yeah, I got to go.
You got to go. No, don't leave there because Mr. Rose has an opportunity to talk. If you want him to talk in your absence.
Well, I don't want anybody to talk in my absence, but it was scheduled for a half hour. If we've used it up, we're going to have to continue.
No, you don't. This is it. This is it, Elliot. I'm done.
Well, the order's for a half hour, sir.
That's right. And I've gone out of my way to give more time.
I don't have the time. I have plans. We have a look.
I got plans too, Elliot.
Okay.
I'm making my plans so that
but you get paid. I'm not getting paid for this.
You know what? I'm not either because at 4:30, I was done. I'm staying here just for you.
Okay, well...
Now, my question is...
I don't have time for it.
Do you have copies of that?
No, but I can give you this one.
Well,
But I'd like to finish putting the rest on the record.
Well, I want you to finish.
Okay. Yeah, but then I don't have time for anything else. Okay, and I'll...
Because I'm going to give Mr. Rose time to rebut it.
I guess. With respect to the order of the hearings, I'd request 15 days based on the appellate calendars at the 4th DCA and actions necessary in Illinois at the 7th Circuit to file with this court formal motions to remove Ted Bernstein and Brian O'Connell as attorney for the trust and estates and fiduciaries based upon direct misconduct against the named beneficiary and extensive fraud in the proceedings. After the removals of the fiduciaries, the next order of hearings should be setting a time for formal motions to vacate the fraud in other orders and judgments, including the final judgment from the validity trial.
Why don't you, can you do that with you?
I can.
Copies of it.
Okay.
Well, for everybody, everyone has a copy, and about 4 or 5 copies.
Just okay, I
don't have it. And now you have to leave, Elliot?
Yeah.
Okay, goodbye.
Okay.
I'm going to hear from Mr. Rose now. You want to stick around and hear what he has to say? Fine, if not, here you go. Mr. Rose, you may address the court, and we're going to leave here at 5:15.
If I could hand you two orders that are entered already by Judge Phillips, both of which were appealed and the appeals are over. Judge Phillips has made a determination that Elliot Bernstein's actions were adverse and destructive to his children. He was representing his children who are beneficiaries of the trust. Just to give you briefly, there are two estates, mom's estate, Shirley, dad's estate, Simon. They both died within a couple of years of each other. So there's two estates. Each estate pours into the same trust, the Simon Bernstein Trust. So Judge Phillips, in December of 2015, by a final judgment which was affirmed today, determined that the beneficiaries of the trust, which is where all the money is going into the trust, the beneficiaries of the trust are 10 grandchildren. So that's where you have beneficiaries. Three of the 10 the grandchildren are not direct beneficiaries. The grandchildren are indirect beneficiaries. The beneficiaries are technically 10 newly created trusts. So there's 10 trusts created by Simon's testamentary documents. Those 10 trusts are the beneficiaries of all the money. Other than some tangible personal property, Elliot Bernstein is the beneficiary along with his 5 siblings, so 1/5 each, of furniture and jewelry. According to the inventories, the total of the furniture and the jewelry is less than 100, plus or minus 100,000. So his interest in this whole thing is less than $20,000. I believe the furniture is going to sell for substantially less than even the appraised value, but assuming it's sold at the appraised
value.
Thank
you, Your Honor.
He's a beneficiary of about $20,000 of stuff. Assuming it's
look at fishing.
Oh, please.
I told you. Look, where they hurt him.
Yeah.
They're buddy.